Morning session number one, message one, lessons concerning the human spirit. Let's turn to page 19. My name is Leland Baker. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, and I also am happy to be here with you. Amen. The first thing that we need to have a fresh realization of is that God has a will. He has an intention, a purpose, a motivation, and he's driven to accomplish it. And his will, his intention, is to glorify his Son, and even to glorify himself in particular in man through Christ. And I was so excited, Brother Bill Lawson's word last night, as you were, and as he freshly pointed out to us, that Jesus Christ accomplished an all-inclusive judicial redemption. Amen. And in resurrection became the life-giving spirit. Amen. And now he's made available for all mankind that whosoever believes into him can receive him as the eternal life. Amen. To be regenerated, to be sons of God, members of the body of Christ, the church.
Amen.
Amen. If we have a desire to see the Lord accomplish his will, to fulfill his eternal purpose of having the church, the very organism of the triune God that expresses him, we need to know that man has a human spirit.
Amen.
His will is the basis for which he creates all things. And we know from Hebrews 11 that all things, even the universe, came into being, was framed by the Word of God. That all things in John 1 came into being through Christ, the Son. And apart from him, nothing came into being. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This title God is given in Genesis 1, in Hebrew, is Elohim. And it refers mainly to his relationship to his creation, mainly of the universe and of the earth. He is the one who created something out of nothing, right? I think by the observable eye through telescope, there's at least 100 billion galaxies that we can see. And within each galaxy, billions of solar systems. Wow. And in this little solar system that we live in, he lays forth the earth, the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
And the earth, perfectly created. Any closer to the sun, we'd fry. Any further away, we'd freeze. It's got a liquid iron core to produce a magnetic field, which we use for our everyday life. It's got an oxygen-rich atmosphere. It's got liquid water for drinking. This is the perfect recipe for complex life to be sustained in existence for the fulfillment of God's will.
Amen.
In particular, he created a species called man.
Amen.
And man would be the vessel who would fulfill God's eternal purpose. But in order for man to do this, he had to be created in a special way. Brothers put up an illustration here on the board of the three parts of man. You might have seen this picture before. Man is created with a physical body to ascertain the material world with the material things. Within man is a soul. This is man's very personality. It's who he is. It's his self. A mind to think and to know. An emotion to feel, to like, to dislike, and a will to choose. But deep within man, it says in Genesis 2:7, that Jehovah God breathed the breath of life into man. He breathed the breath of life into man. If we compare, before I go there, Jehovah, the title Jehovah given to God. And Genesis 2:7 refers mainly to his relationship with man. How is he related to man? He's man's creator. And he breathes the breath of life into man. If we compare this verse with Job 33:4, which says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has enlivened me." If we compare Genesis 2:7 with Job 33:4, as I said, we see that the breath of life that Jehovah breathes into man is the very breath of the Almighty God. Wow. Furthermore, we need to see from Proverbs 20:27 that this breath of life, the breath of the Almighty, becomes the Spirit in man. That is the very lamp of Jehovah. The word spirit in this verse is neshama. The word for breath or spirit usually in the Hebrew language is ruach. But the word neshama in this verse is used. And it's translated as spirit. But in Genesis 2:7 we see it's the breath of life, the breath of the Almighty. But it's translated as spirit in Proverbs 20:27. This shows us that the very breath of life, the breath of Jehovah, the breath of the Almighty, is man's spirit within him. And at most, we can say that the spirit is created with the material of the breath of life, the breath of the Almighty. We can't say that our spirit is created with the Spirit of God, or that it is God's Spirit, or that it is God's life. Because at creation, man had not yet received God's life, the eternal life, right? But the Spirit is created with the breath of life, the breath of the Almighty. It's something that's close to the nature of the Spirit of God. It's something that's close to the Spirit of God. It's something that's like the life of God, but it's not exactly the same. And it has to be close in nature so that when man believes into Christ and receives the eternal life and is regenerated in his spirit, the Lord as the Spirit with our human spirit can easily be joined, can easily be grafted together. Wow. This is the organ within us that enables us to be joined to the God of this universe. So if we want to, yes, praise the Lord. So if we want to be those who are for the building of the church, for the accomplishment of God's will, if we would like to take the orthodox line of the church, the orthodox course of the church, we need to know our human spirit. You might think of the human spirit as being an elementary subject, but we need a fresh realization that it's so crucial to the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. In fact, it's so crucial that it's ranked with the heavens and the earth. In Zechariah 12:1, we see that God stretched forth the heavens, as we saw, right? He lays the foundation of the earth, and man who lives on the earth is created with a spirit within him to contact the very creator of the universe. And notice, if you look at this verse, which I highly recommend, you don't have to look at it now, but maybe this afternoon, the spirit of man is ranked with the importance of the heavens and the earth. Did you notice that Hollywood entertainment is not ranked with the heavens and the earth? The internet is not ranked with the heavens and the earth. Amen. Even the best music, nice music, classical, I like classical music. It's not ranked with the heavens and the earth. But the spirit of man is ranked with the heavens and with the earth. So we need to see the parts of our spirit. We say parts, these are even three functions of the Spirit that work as parts of our spirit. Number one, the conscience. This is what the C stands for in this diagram. The conscience. Within man, man has a conscience to discern right from wrong, good from evil. And in this lawless, perverted, crooked generation, God needs a group of people who would live in their spirit according to their conscience, choosing the good and refusing the evil. But we need to compare Romans chapter 9, verse 1, with Romans 8:16. And I'd like to draw just really quick a Venn diagram. You might be familiar with these by now. That in Romans 9:1, there's the conscience. The Apostle Paul said that his conscience bore witness in the Holy Spirit, right? So I'll put HS as the common factor between these two circles. This stands for Holy Spirit. Paul's conscience bore witness in the Holy Spirit. But in Romans 8:16, where does it say that the Holy Spirit is? In our spirit, in the human spirit. So if Paul's conscience was in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is in our human spirit, then we can say the conscience is in our spirit, right? Even David in Psalm 51 asked that the Lord renew in him a right spirit. Remember right and wrong, good from evil. This is what our conscience allows us to discern. And if we have a right spirit, then we have a spirit that allows the conscience to function, to know right from wrong. Fellowship. Our spirit enables us to fellowship with God. We can commune with the very God of this universe. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truthfulness. This kind of true worship to God is our fellowship with him. It's our communion with him, and our fellowship and communion with him is our worship of him. And this takes place in our spirit. How do we know this? We can look at a couple of examples, even in Romans 9:1-9. The Apostle Paul says that he served God in his spirit. To serve God is to be in communion with him. It's to have a fellowship with him, to be one with him, to do the service of God. In Ephesians 6, Paul said, praying at every time in spirit. Prayer, in that verse, takes place in spirit. Our prayer to the Lord is a kind of fellowship. It's a kind of communion with God. In Luke 1:47, Mary says, my spirit exults in the Lord, or rejoices in the Lord. She was enjoying the Lord and the Lord's presence and exulting in him. This is also a kind of fellowship with him, a kind of worship. And where does it happen? It's in our spirit. Intuition. The third function of the Spirit as a part of the Spirit is our ability to know God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says that the soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit and man can know the things of man. And even the Spirit of God searches or knows the depths of God, right? So even in our spirit, we can know the things that man who live by a soul that dominates their person cannot know. And because the Spirit of God who searches the depths of God is in our spirit, we can even know the depths of God and even have the mind of Christ to know him. This takes place in our intuition. Amen. The Spirit has a purpose. And what is the purpose of our spirit? In the outline, it says its function. This is Roman numeral 4. We can contact the living God. Amen. I think millions and millions of dollars go into radars and radar systems, right? Trying to detect whether life is on, you know, other planets or somewhere in the universe, right? And maybe to see if they can contact UFOs or this kind of thing. But here's the secret. Our spirit enables us to contact directly, amen, not indirectly, directly the God of this universe. Not only this, we can receive the God of this universe to be our life. Ezekiel 36:26 says that God has put in us a new heart and a new spirit. The heart is the loving organ. Our heart was made to love something. Do you know what our heart was made for? It was made to love blank. Fill in the blank. God. Our heart was made to love God. But what if he didn't give us a new spirit, just a new heart? And we'd constantly be loving, but we'd be in agony because we wouldn't be able to receive that which we love. The Spirit is the very factor that enables us to receive that which we love. I love pizza. But if I didn't have a mouth or a stomach to receive it, it would be a suffering, right? In like manner, we love the Lord. And it would be a great suffering if we couldn't receive the Lord. But he's given us a new spirit. So,
amen.
So that we can. Today it's possible. We can. And finally, our spirit is made to contain the God of this universe. It's the very container. How can we say this? 2 Timothy 4:22. The Lord be with your spirit. How about let's all say that? The Lord be with your spirit. Now try it with your spirit. The Lord be with your spirit. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My name is Billy. I'm from Champaign, right here. Hallelujah. I have a spirit, and I know why. So the Lord can live inside. To fill me up, yes, that is why. I've got a spirit. I got a spirit. A wonderful spirit. I'm happy as can be. Max, are you happy? You got a spirit. A wonderful spirit. Now the Lord can live inside, through, and out of you. Be expressed through you. This is God's eternal purpose. Roman numeral 5. Being deadened. So let's complete this. It says that it's deadened, not necessarily dead, because especially if you read accounts of seekers of God through time, you realize that even though man's spirit, in Ephesians 2:1, it says, "You though dead in your sins and offenses." But you realize that man's spirit was not altogether dead, because I was reading some of these stories of people that eventually became believers in the former Soviet Union. And some of them, so the government says, there is no God. Do not believe in God. Don't do this Jesus thing. There is no such thing as Jesus. And then when the governments are saying, don't worry about Jesus, one of these girls heard this word Jesus from the government. And she says, Jesus. 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 And then she just, the more she says it, the better she feels about it. And this happened for years. This is a true story. This happened for years. And years later, she came in contact with some Christians and heard about someone that she has always called on and never knew. And so she says, now I know about this person. So what does that mean? That means man's spirit was not altogether dead, but it was deadened. What does that mean? Your conscience becomes desensitized. It becomes defiled. And then your intuition becomes senseless. It's insensitive to the things of God. It cannot sense the things of God anymore. And your fellowship becomes blocked because of our sins and offenses. Right? And so this is a serious problem. When Brother Leland was speaking, God's view of man's spirit was so high. But what has happened to man's fall was that the most important thing, the thing that's ranked with the heavens and the earth, now is damaged. The vessel now is damaged. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
Satan deadened, God regenerated.
Amen.
That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit.
Amen.
Now we are born of the Spirit. God who breathed the breath of life into man, now he is breathing into man the second time. And now the second time, he is breathing the Holy Spirit into man. And so, on the day of resurrection, the Lord breathed into the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So, consider this. Look at this Holy Spirit right here. God breathed into man's spirit. And now, man's spirit becomes enlivened. And actually, man's spirit, according to John 1, is begotten of God. It's begotten of God, meaning God's life is now in man's spirit. This means, if you look at the diagram, you know, we talk about in creation, God breathed the breath of life into man. Where is God? Where is the Spirit of God? That breath of life was not the Spirit of God, right? So if you want to find God, where do you have to be? Maybe in the Holy Land, maybe where the Jews were, some people were talking to God. God was relating to man outwardly. But today, where is God? Where is the Holy Spirit? It's in our spirit. Actually, our spirit today is the address of God. Man's spirit. Joseph, where is God? In your spirit. Where do you find God? In your spirit. Our spirit today is one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
One spirit. Whenever you talk about the Holy Spirit, you have to think. That's where my spirit. That's in my spirit. When you say the Lord, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where is it? Now wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where is that? In our spirit.
Amen.
That means the spirit is so important. And our spirit is one with the Lord's spirit. The two become inseparable by means of the regeneration that we receive. Okay. That means whenever we don't use our spirit, there is no God. God is not real if we don't use our spirit. That is why unbelievers say, show me God. I don't see God. I don't see God. And when some believers fall away for a long period of time, and you talk to them again, we have relatives like this, and then you talk to them again, they say, I don't believe in God anymore. Have you had these relatives? A lot of us have these kind of relatives. Why? Because the less you use your spirit, the less God is real to you. Because God is real in our spirit. Why? Because God is in our spirit.
Amen.
God is. Today, our spirit is the address of God. Where do you want God? We're at the college training. Right? Why did you pay $295? A week of your time. Or $325 if you register late. If you come and you don't use this part, save your money. Go home. Seriously. Save your money. This spirit is so important to God, and I would say, while we're here, we need to take this matter seriously. This needs to be so important to us. We have to say, Lord, I want to find you.
Amen.
I want to exercise my spirit.
Amen.
For this whole week.
Amen.
And actually, I want to learn how to use my spirit for the rest of my life.
Yes.
From this week. Okay? Let me read 2 Corinthians 4:13. This is a very good note. Having the same spirit of faith according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Note 2. It draws on the exposition from two different Bible expositors. This is really good. This is from Alford. Dean Alford. Not distinctly the Holy Spirit, but still not merely a human disposition. The indwelling Holy Spirit penetrates and characterizes the whole renewed man. Penetrates and characterizes. Those are good words. Okay, this is another one from Vincent. Spirit of faith, not distinctly the Holy Spirit, nor, on the other hand, a human faculty or disposition, but blending both.
Amen.
We have a spirit of faith.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of faith, our human spirit of faith, the mingled spirit of faith. Today, our spirit is mingled with the Holy Spirit. We are one spirit with the Lord. And today, according to Ephesians 2:22, we are built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. God is seeking for a dwelling place over the course of the church, right? How are we going to become the dwelling place of God in the course of the church? How are you going to be Philadelphia? The church that satisfies and gives God rest. Your spirit. This is why it's ranked with the heavens and the earth. Before, you just know that there's a verse that says our spirit is ranked. But this is why. It has everything to do with what God is looking for. We need to see how important this is. How about let's read Roman numeral 9 all together. So this is the practical side and the applicable side to us today. So we have it. It has been deadened. Now it has been regenerated. And now it's become one spirit with the Lord. And now it's the dwelling place of God. Now we know. Let's go home. No, not so fast. Everything that God is doing in us has to do with the spirit. So, the more you use something, the more the purpose that it's used for gets fulfilled. If you look at just browse through the Bible, for example, Romans 8. If you walk by the Spirit, or if you walk according to the Spirit, the righteous requirements of God is fulfilled in you. You might not even need the regulation sheet anymore. If you just walk according to the Spirit, all the righteous requirements of God will be fulfilled in you. And then if you set your mind on the Spirit, you have life and peace. And then if you walk according to the Spirit, the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. And it will transform you and conform you to the image of the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
Right? If you look at Ephesians, if you exercise your spirit, you will have wisdom and you will have revelation. And you will know not only the inheritance, not only the love of Christ in Ephesians 3. You will know the transmission of God to the church in your spirit. And Christ will make home in his heart, his home in our hearts by us being strengthened into our spirit. What else? Sorry, looking at my notes. Okay, moving on. If you don't use your spirit, what happens if you don't use your spirit? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, you're sitting there, right? You're listening to a message. You were singing. Maybe you were prayer reading a little. But if you don't use your spirit, nothing happens. If you now know your spirit and you don't use it, why even be a Christian? You know? Because if you don't use your spirit, even anything you do for the Lord doesn't matter. Because everything that God wants happens in the spirit. Do you want to grow in life? Do you want to grow in life? You say, Lord, I want to grow in life. Let's all say that.
Lord, I want to grow in life.
If you set your mind on the flesh, you don't grow in life. This is Colossians 2, 18 and 19. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, then you grow with the growth of God. This has to be so practical to us that it affects how we brush our teeth. You know? You can brush your teeth just brushing your teeth. Right? And then you can say, "Oh, Lord Jesus," when you brush your teeth. Then while you're brushing your teeth, you are growing in life. Do you realize that? Without you knowing it. Seriously. While you're playing soccer on the field and there's a brother that was way too talented, and you're way too competitive. Is that practical enough? But you're not good enough, okay? And you just get that urge that you want to kick that brother's shin. Has it happened to you, Dan? But you say, "Oh, I want to kick that brother's shin." But even better to say, "Lord, I want to kick that brother's shin." "Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus." Then while you're playing soccer, in the midst of your complicated emotion, you are growing in life.
Amen.
You are becoming the dwelling place of God in your spirit. Do you want it? It's that important. It's that important. When you say, "Oh, Lord," this is recently, we're reminded of this. My brother is so strong. He says, "Don't just say you're tired." So, "Oh, I'm tired." Say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm tired." Right? If you go on the quad, and you see some trees, wow, and these beautiful trees. The sisters can say, wow, beautiful trees. The brothers don't. But don't just say pretty trees. Say, Lord, thank you for the beautiful trees. We should exercise to turn every kind of activity into an exercise of the Spirit.
Amen.
When you read the Bible, and you don't understand something, I enjoyed one of the brothers testifying this morning about when you come in contact with something you don't understand. Most of the time, what I would do is I try to figure it out. I ask myself all these questions, and I figure it out. If I can't, I go and ask Max, right, or Dion, or Jason, or somebody for the answer. But I don't usually think about asking the Lord. But actually, that's not altogether true. At a certain point, I began to learn to, whenever I don't understand something, I say, oh, Lord, I don't understand this. Oh, Lord, what does this mean? You can turn an activity in your mind into an exercise of the Spirit.
Amen.
There is going to be a message on the exercise of the Spirit. I'm not trying to turn that into that fellowship. But I'm just showing how important this is. And we need to set the tone on the first day for the rest of the week.
Right.
How we're going to use our week. Amen. When you memorize your verses, right? And you're frustrated that you can't get it. Say, Lord, oh, Lord, I'm so frustrated. Talk to the Lord. Engage your spirit.
Amen.
When you engage your spirit, you're engaging the heaven. You're engaging the earth. You're engaging God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
You're engaging.